God gives us an approved way to live. He also shows us an unapproved way.
Welcome to the pulpit ministry of the Launce Baptist Church. Hi, this is Jerry Bishop, and I want to thank you for listening today. Here at Launce Baptist, we believe in proclaiming the glory of God, the wonderful good news of the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and the authority of Scripture over our lives. May the Lord bless you, and may you grow in the knowledge of Him today as you listen.
Okay, tonight we're going to be in Psalm 1. This is a psalm that I really enjoy, one that I know has been really good for me. So why don't we go ahead and I'll pray to open us up. Lord, I thank you so much just that you are you, that we always have you, that you are always true to what you've told us about you in your word. I pray, Lord, now that you would just guide this evening, guide me as I just try to share what you've done in my life and my study with these people here. I pray, Lord, that you would use me. I pray that I wouldn't be a hindrance to your word. I also just want to pray for Pastor Bishop as he is traveling. I pray that you give him grace, give them safety, and help him, Lord, just to be able to comfort the Robards and also be with Joe. Just give him strength now. Lord, just turning back to tonight, give me strength. Allow this all to glorify and honor you. In your name I pray. Amen. So, okay. You can think of a job that you've worked. Is this echoing really bad? Or is that just me? Okay. I can hear my voice every time. But you can think of a job you've worked maybe when you were a kid, or maybe when you work now. Or if you haven't worked a job and you're too young for that, you can think of your parents. Either your parents have given you some kind of task to do, or your boss has given you some kind of task. And before you do it the first time, they're going to show you how to do it. They're going to give you a specific way that they've done it, maybe because that's the best way, maybe because they've done that way for years and years and years, and there's no way you're ever going to change that. But they give you a specific way to do something. So, as you do your job, you know that there is one approved way. It has a stamp of approval from either your boss or your parents on it. So if I do it this way, they'll be happy with it. If you try another way, you're taking a risk. See, they may get upset. Even if the job works better, they may be upset that I didn't do it their way. Or you may try it your way, and you crash and burn, and it's just a big waste. So you know that there is one approved way, and then there are a bunch of other ways that are a possibility, could be a risk, could be a failure. So, but there is one approved way. It's kind of like what we're going to look at in Psalm 1. God gives us an approved way to live. He also shows us an unapproved way. But we're going to focus on what we should do. I'm going to go ahead and I'll read the psalm now. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So my challenge for you tonight, our challenge from God's word, is to live in God's approved way. So we're going to take some time and we're going to look at two ways that we will live in God's approved way. The first of which, from verse 1, is that we must separate from ungodliness. It starts out the first word, blessed is the man. This is a description of this person who lives in God's approved way. Blessed, you could either say that is just that happy is the man. You could say approved is the man. But this is the man that does it God's way. And because of that, he is approved. Because of that, he is happy. He is blessed. And the first thing is that he is separate from ungodliness. First of all, it says that he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, to walk here, as often in the Bible, is used to describe a way of life, a course of action, the way you do something. So his way of life would be one that was not according to the counsel of the ungodly. That he didn't live by the counsel, the advice, or the thought of the world, of ungodly people, of an ungodly system. This would be something that he is characterized by. It distinguishes him. One man said this: "It is the characteristic of the man, always and habitually, that he does not thus walk. It has not only been true in the past, but it is true in the present, and will be true in the future." So the blessed man is known that he does not walk, that he does not live, according to the counsel, the advice, or the thought of this world. The walk of the blessed man is not after the same ways, the same principles, or the same outlook as we may see in this world. Let's see, where do we see some of these things? Well, every time you turn on the TV, they're probably trying to peddle some message to you. You're going to get all kinds of counsel, all kinds of advice. You're going to see all kinds of ways of thinking, almost all of which are ungodly. They're against the way of thinking that God gives us in His Word. This will affect the way you go to work, the way you see your job. This will affect the way you look at your spouse and your marriage. This will affect how you look at your kids. This will affect kids, how you look at your parents. Because according to this world, it's all about me. According to this world, you're not going to die to self and do things for someone else, even when it has no benefit to you. So we're not to live according to the counsel of the ungodly, according to their way of thinking. Now, I've seen this for myself. When I go home, I have a few members of my family, my immediate family, that are saved. Other than that, they're not. So I look at my grandparents, I talk to them, my aunts and uncles, and I know that sometimes they just kind of smile at me and think, "Oh, that's nice, you're going to the Christian college, you want to be a preacher." But to them, this is nuts. Because there are other things I could do. I did well in school growing up. I like to draw, do things like that. So to them, that's what I should be doing. I should be going off. I could go to some school where I can get some cool job, make all kinds of money. But instead, I'm spending all my time trying to learn how to be a pastor with no money and who spends all his time working, trying to make people do things they don't want to do. But to them, that's just crazy. It's the counsel of the ungodly. It's the way of thinking of people who are not saved. And we can't live by that. We can't live in that mold, in that system of life. But our walk must be one that is according to God's Word. And that must be what characterizes us. Now, like I said, you will see this in the way you treat your spouse. Now, sometimes you'll see in this world that there could be this philosophy of, "Oh, women are never supposed to submit to their husband. That's like the dictatorship." But in God's Word, that's not the way it is. A husband may be the head of the house, but as head of the house, he is going to die to himself. He's going to sacrifice out of love. And for a man, sometimes you get that ungodly advice from this world that you are head of the house, so you get to put your foot down and that's the way it is. But God's Word doesn't put it that way. Sacrificial love is part of headship. For kids, you may get advice that all authority is just trying to make you have no fun. But that's not true. Your parents love you. And God's Word tells you to obey them. So these are just some ways that we can see that this world advises us to live. But we can't live by those. But instead, we must live by God's Word. The next thing to separate from is the way of sinners. It says next, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now, a sinner here isn't the sinner in the way that all of us are sinners. Because we're all sinners. We've all done wrong things. But this is someone whose life is characterized by missing the mark that God has for them. Their life is opposed to the way God would have them live. They have rejected God's ways. They are living in opposition to the obligations that we have as creations of God. This person is outright opposed to Christianity, to God. And we can't stand in that way. We can't be surrounded by that ourselves. We can't in any way be characterized by this sinful lifestyle. If you as a Christian have this in your life, that the way that you see ungodly people live and act, if that is part of your life, you're doing something wrong. We as Christians must be different. We must be separated from the world. Not always in location, because we're told to be in the world so that we can reach it. But in the way that we live, in the way that we act, the choices we make, our lives must be modeled after God's Word. First of all, in the way we think, from being separate from ungodly counsel, and then in the way we live, in being separate from the way of sinners. Next, we can look at it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, a scornful person is a mocker. The scornful or mockers are fools in wisdom. They mock God. They mock the way God wants us to do things. They mock the teachings from God's Word. These are the people that will make fun of us. They're the people that will make fun of the Bible. They'll make fun of God. But the godly man, the blessed man, he doesn't sit. He doesn't allow himself to be surrounded by this. He doesn't take part in it. He will in no way mock God. The blessed man will in no way make fun of the God who created him, the God who saved him, and the God who has given him a perfect book to live by. So the blessed man will be separate from mockers. He will in no way endorse their mocking, either by being silent as they mock God. You can correct an unbeliever in love. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to say, that's my God. Please do not mock my God. The blessed man will not allow his God to be mocked. If he knows that there is going to be mocking of God, he's not going to go around it. If he knows a certain group of people does mock God, he's not going to be around them. Now, you may wonder, but what about those times when I'm at work and I really can't get away? Now, this is a question I had to wrestle through a couple summers ago because I work landscaping. And that definitely wasn't a godly bunch. But all summer, working alongside them, there were a couple rough spots. Times they'd ask, why are you doing that? Or why don't you laugh at that? But as a Christian, as someone who wants to live in God's approved way, we must be separate from that way of doing things, from that mocking of God. Now, you can't always get up and leave physically, but you can separate yourself in practice, in your characterization, in the way people perceive you, and in your spirit towards that mocking. So we, in order to be the blessed man, in order to be the one who lives in God's approved way, must be separate from ungodliness. separate from the ungodly council, separate from sinners, and separate from mockers. This is the first half of being a man who lives in God's approved way. Let's move on. We'll look at the second. And that is, in order to live in God's approved way, we must delight in God's word. Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Verse 1 tells us what this blessed man is not going to do. From here on is the contrast to that. Instead of what he's not going to do, it tells us what the blessed man does do. It tells us what we're going to put off, and then it tells us what we're going to put on. So first of all, a person who delights in God's word will desire God's word. The man who lives in God's approved way will desire and long for Scripture. He will desire to be in the Bible. It will be something that he looks forward to. He looks forward to hearing someone tell him about God's word. He looks forward to getting into it himself, to waking up in the morning, cracking open his Bible, and seeing what God says. This is something this person is going to long after. When he can't do it, he's going to miss it. When he can do it, he will. The blessed man is going to love and long for God's word. And he has very good reasons for that. Because God's word is exactly that. Words from God, our Creator, who is perfect, who is loving, who is good, who knows exactly what we need. So his word has great value to the person who lives in God's approved way. He delights after it. He longs after it. He enjoys his time in it. And the first verse tells us to be separate from ungodliness. This person, instead of enjoying ungodliness, enjoying sin, he will enjoy God's word. He will replace that ungodly thought, life, and mocking with God's word. Now, we must desire God's word in our own lives. Instead of wanting to be accepted by this world, instead of wanting to come out on top when it comes to our business or your different sports teams that you may be fans of or whatever else it is that this world would push you to be after, your delight should be in God's word. That's where you should find your joy. Our joy should be in God's approval. In that when we stand before God, he'll be able to look at us and say, "Good job." That we will have approval from the God that we are supposed to be serving. The God who saved us from being punished forever. He's definitely worth serving. He's definitely worth us seeking after his approval. In order for us to have that approval, we must delight in his word. Now, a person who delights in God's word will also meditate on his word. He said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now, meditation is one of those words that sometimes gets made fun of, because you see that guy with the towel on his head and he's kind of hovering there and just emptying his mind. But that's not what meditation is. Instead of an emptying of your mind, meditation is a filling. It's filling it with God's word, or whatever else it is you're meditating on. If you want to see little ways that we do this without even realizing it, maybe you can think back to when you were in school and you had a test coming up. Maybe some of you didn't care when tests came up, but I know I can definitely see this when I'm in school and I have something I have to memorize. It's on my mind constantly, going over and over. If you try to memorize a verse, you're meditating on it because you'll sit there, Okay, blessed is the man who... blessed is the man... You're going over it, over and over, making sure it gets into your head. You could be meditating on things such as, this weekend, who the Packers play, or who the Lions play. I realize we've probably got a split audience here. And you both don't like me because I'm a Bears fan. But we have these things. You may be thinking about that all the time. Or your kids have something coming up, and you are thinking about that. Or maybe you have something big coming up at work that's on your shoulders. You got to figure it out. You've got that on your mind constantly. You're mulling over it. You're chewing it up. This is meditation. This is what we do with God's Word. We're supposed to take it and mull it over in our mind. Keep it there. Work over the different things that don't make sense to us. Question the different things, why they're there. What's that doing? The things that you read in the morning or in the evening or whenever you have your time with God, that should stick in your head. You should be thinking over that. Whether there are things like, you know what, that is really cool. That I am supposed to be separate from these things, and that makes me approved to God. That God is happy with that. Or it can be, why does it say that there? Why could it be this or this or maybe that? These are different things that we do as we meditate. This is what we must do with God's Word. There's a picture that's used, which it's a little gross, but of a cow and how he chews his cud and how he gets that grass and he chews it and he swallows it. After a while, it comes back and he chews it some more and he swallows it again. And it's kind of gross, but it's a good picture of meditation. This is what we're supposed to do with God's Word. Take it, chew it up. I won't go any further. But you're supposed to bring it back and think over it more. Just mull it over in your mind. This is meditation. And that's what someone does when they delight in God's Word. This is part of living in God's approved way. Because when we meditate over God's Word, when we have it in our minds constantly, it becomes a part of us. It becomes like us. It becomes like us. We become like it. I know I've noticed as just having to study for different sermons, stuff like that. Over the summer, I was studying 2 Timothy because I was preaching through it. And I realized at one point, it's like, whoa, I just quoted like 6 or 7 verses to myself, no problem, and I hadn't even tried to memorize them. But this is what happens when you meditate on God's Word, when you wrestle with it. It'll become a part of you. It'll stick with you. And a big benefit of that is when hard times come, when you're afraid, when you're worried, that you have God's Word in your mind, that'll come back to you. And you'll realize the different promises that God has given. You'll realize the different reactions that you're supposed to have when you have God's Word plugged into your head. This is what the blessed man does. This is God's approved way. To first be separate from ungodliness and to delight in His Word. Meditating in it. And we can see in the next verse, verse 3, that a person who delights in God's Word will prosper. This is a result of someone who enjoys God's Word. Someone who looks forward to it. Someone who digs himself into it. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this blessed man is like a tree who is planted by the rivers of water. Now this is actually a picture of a river that has actually been dug out, that's been put right next to the tree. It's kind of like an irrigation system. To where that tree is not going to run out of water. There's no way. This blessed man who delights in God's Word will be like a tree that is planted near water that will never run out of its source of life. Someone who is in God's Word will never run out of that source of life. And instead, he will grow and he will bear fruit. There will be products that come out of his life. Other people will be able to see the results of him delighting in God's Word. Because when we do that and we meditate in it, we'll become more like it. People will be able to see, hey, that guy is not as short-tempered as he used to be. Or that guy made that decision, and he wouldn't have made that a year ago. You can see fruit in the blessed man's life. Because he is planted firmly in God's Word. Because he has a source of life that is never going to run out. Also, the man who lives in God's approved way will have a prosperous life. Because he is in God's Word, because he has a source of life that is never going to run out, he will be able to prosper. He will be able to have success in his own spiritual walk. Yeah, there will be bumps in the road. There will be tough times when we mess up. We're human. We all sin. We all fall down. And this blessed man will have that. But he will be able to bounce back up. He will be able to, in God's strength, to continue to grow. He will confess his sins, and he will move on in God's grace. He will prosper. He will be characterized by success in his spiritual life. People will be able to see that he is growing. They'll be able to say he's human, but they'll be able to see that he's growing, that he's changing, step by step. Now, you may see that godly people don't always seem to have success. I mean, even look in the Bible, look at Job. How godly was Job? His life was awful. He had all kinds of things go wrong. Now, when I say prosper, when the psalm says prosper, it doesn't mean that the man that is blessed, that is approved by God, is going to have a real nice house, that he's going to have a nice car, that he's going to have a comfortable life. That's not the kind of prospering it's talking about. It's like I said a little bit ago, that he's going to prosper in his own walk with God. That when it comes to hills in his spiritual life, that he has to get through, whether it's the death of a loved one. And it's a hard time. This man will prosper through that. He will grow. He will be able to see that God is the one that will give him the strength. He will be able to see that God has something to teach him through it. You lose your job. You will be able to prosper through that. The blessed man will be able to grow spiritually through these times. Whether or not he has a nice house, whether or not he has a nice car, whether or not his family is the picture-perfect Christian family. The blessed man, who is approved by God, who lives in God's approved way, will grow spiritually. Will be able to grow like a weed, one way to put it. So this is what we wanted to look at tonight. This is my challenge for you. Even more than my challenge for you, it's a challenge from God's Word. That God wants us to be approved, to live in a way that He likes, to be people who are separate from ungodliness, whether it be the way of thinking that this world has, or whether it be the way of life that sinners live, or whether it be the mockers who make fun of God. The blessed man is separate from all of that. None of that is characteristic of him. But instead, what characterizes him is God's Word. His love for God's Word. A blessed man delights in the Bible, in Scripture. So this is how we live a life that is approved to God. We're separated from the world and to God through His Word. This is the blessed man. This is what he looks like. This is a challenge to all of us. So we can all do better. We can all see areas in our lives that we need to separate from ungodliness. Whether it be the way we made that last decision, or it could be the way that we look at our family or our job. All of us can delight more in God's Word. Now, sometimes that's going to be harder than others. But we must always be in God's Word. Delighting after that, not neglecting it. This is what we have to do in order to live a life that is approved to God. So this psalm teaches us that God does have an approved way to do things. Now there are many other ways to do things. There are many other ways to make it through this life. But they're not the way that God wants us to do it. You may have a way to live that makes sense. Your unsaved family may give you advice that makes sense. That works even. That gets results. But God has an approved way. And He has that approved way for His reasons. So that is the way that we must live. Because He is our God. Because His way is perfect. And because He has commanded us to live a certain way. That is separate from ungodliness and delighting in His Word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much just for Your strength that You've given. I pray, Lord, that You would take this and that You would use it in each of us. I pray, Lord, that You would take words of a weak vessel that You can use and allow them to stick with us. That when we leave here tonight, we would look at ourselves and see where we fall short. This week, I pray, Lord, that You would ignite in us more of a delight in Your Word. Show us, Lord, the times that we want other things. The times that other things take the place of You and Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us the strength to change. Lord, I thank You that You have promised us that when we live according to Your Word, that we live according to Your approved way, that we will prosper, that we will be able to grow. I thank You, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, for Your strength now. In Your name I pray. Amen.